Want to bet your favorite horse but can't make it to the race book? South Point Casino's Racebook has the answer. Come in and sign up for the Nevada Racebook mobile app. For just a $50 minimum deposit, you'll have the Racebook right at your fingertips, no matter where you are in Nevada. It's convenient, fun, and easy to use. When you do have time to visit, South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our Racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. Whether you want to come in or play from the comfort of your home, South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Nearly 50 years ago, Len Ragazin formulated the idea of speed ratings. Today, the Ragazin sheets are still America's premier speed rating product. Who uses Len Ragazin speed ratings? Trainers use the Ragazin sheets to place their horses. Breeders check the Ragazin sheets before making million-dollar decisions. And jockey agents consult the Ragazin sheets when choosing which horse to ride. But most importantly, the Ragazin sheets are used by players like you. The Ragazin sheets are available online at thesheets.com. Our website also offers free introductory material, including an online seminar. You can also receive free introductory material by calling us directly at 212-674-3123. That's the Ragazin sheets at 212-674-3123. Ragazin, the most respected name in racing.
Have you heard the news? You can get free Formulator Pass performances with DRF bets. Sign up to get the best bonus in racing with a $250 deposit match and a $10 free bet, plus free Formulator Pass performances. Enjoy all the perks of using Formulator with projected odds, trainer patterns, race and horse notes, replays, and more. Never pay for past performances again. Just use the promo code WINNING when you register at drf.com/bet. That's winning at drf.com/bet. It's post time for Thoroughbred Los Angeles, the most informative and profitable hour of horse racing found anywhere. Thoroughbred Los Angeles is brought to you by Santa Anita. Live Thoroughbred racing is back at iconic Santa Anita Park. By the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, where the action never stops. By Daily Racing Form, exclusive past performance content provider for Thoroughbred LA. By Legacy Ranch, get your horses started right at Legacy Ranch. And by HorseBills.com, enjoy billing made easy through HorseBills.com. By the OC Tavern, satellite wagering is back in San Clemente. By the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association, it pays to own a cowbred. By today's Racing Digest, a handicapping lesson in every issue. And by the Ragazin Sheets, the most effective handicapping tool available. Get the sheets. By the Gas Lamp Tavern, satellite wagering is now available in San Diego. By Los Alamitos Night Quarter Horse Racing, sometimes your best day of racing is at night. By Bruce Finkelstein's BetOnBruce.com, selections from Southern California and key race meets across the country each racing day. And by the Derby Room at Fairplex Park in Pomona, where every horse player gets the VIP treatment. And now, here are your hosts, Bob Ike and John Lindo.
And welcome to a Saturday edition of Thoroughbred Los Angeles. I'm John Lindo. I'll be joined by my regular co-host, Bob Ike, in just a second. We're post-Kentucky Derby. We're pre-Preakness. We'll be talking about both of those races. At Santa Anita today, we have a nine-race card. First post time, 1 p.m. The feature race goes to the ninth and final today. That's the Grade 3 Senorita Stakes. So we've got some action in California as well. But to bring us up to date on what happened with the Derby and what's going to happen in the Preakness, let's bring in our regular co-host, Bob Ike. Bob, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, John. Good morning. Doing great.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. First of all, let's kind of wrap up the Kentucky Derby, which was won by Golden Tempo, 23-1, coming from dead last in the Kentucky Derby. And in a race that was, you know, the Derby can always be roughly run, but this one kind of took things to a new level. There was a lot of action in the Derby this year.
Yeah, there was. And as you said, the winner, Golden Tempo, came from last. We'll talk about how that happened and maybe the race splits or the fractions that set up the closers, because of the first three finishers, they were all at the back of the pack in that final pack of four horses. So it was definitely race shape aided, with Renegade running second, O'Selly, the maiden, finishing third. The horse I like, Chief Wallaby, was fourth. So, John, after watching the replay many, many times, and I know you were a big fan of Renegade. Renegade certainly ran a winning race. He was jostled around at the break. That may have taken something out of him. He had to wait a little bit on the far turn, lost some momentum. But then once he swung out, he was closing well, and he had about two lengths on the winner in mid-stretch. And I thought he just got out-kicked at the end, John. It's hard to quantify how much the jostling at the start may have cost him, but he was out-kicked pretty much fair and square at the end of the race. Chief Wallaby, the horse I like, he split horses. I thought he might be making the winning move in mid-stretch. Got jostled around, but I really don't think it cost him the race, John. I think he was going to be fourth no matter what. I think it cost him a length or two. But those first three were just finishing better at that part of the race. So it was roughly run in a couple different spots. The winner came from last, got a perfect ride, swung out at the right time in mid-stretch, and put up a good rally. But, you know, I thought overall the race earned like a 95 buyer, which certainly is not going to make it one of the strongest derbies in the world. And I really think the race shape had a whole lot to do with it, John. I'm just going to give the splits of each quarter of the race. The first quarter went in 22-3. The second quarter went in 23-4. The next quarter, 24-2. Then 25-3. And the final quarter of the race was run in 25-4. So that's just basic pace handicapping, John. Race shape aided. To me, the horse that ran the best race was the Japanese horse, Danon Bourbon. He had about three lengths at the top of the lane. He was the only horse who was close or pressing that pace to stick around. He did get tired the final 16th. They overtook him. He finished fifth, but just by the fractions he pressed and being the only one to stick around, all the other front runners backed out of it. I thought he ran the best race in defeat.
I thought the Japanese horse, Danon Bourbon, ran a super race, too. And from a human standpoint, we saw history made, Bob. Cherie DeVoe became the first woman trainer to saddle a Kentucky Derby winner. And I think you got to give credit to Jose Ortiz, too. From dead last, he was smart enough to fall in behind his brother, Irad Ortiz, and Renegade, and basically let Renegade kind of pull him through the pack and create a lane for him to come out and angle outside Renegade and get the job done. Very smart ride by Jose Ortiz. And Cherie DeVoe, who's done a good job for quite a while now. I know you're a fan, and now she's a Kentucky Derby winning trainer.
Well, anyone who's listened to our show over the last couple of years knows that I have been singing the praises of Cherie DeVoe. I think she's a terrific trainer. Just read an article about her today that, you know, what I had kind of forgotten was when she first started, she did not win a race for 11 months. She was very discouraged. Thought about maybe giving it up. Her husband, David Engordo, said give it 3 years. And I remember talking to Scott Shapiro, who will be on later, a lot about this. And I was like, man, she can't train. And he kept telling me, no, she can. Just give her a chance. And, boy, she can really change. She can really train. And what I like, John, is, yes, she's the first woman to win the Kentucky Derby, but to me, and I think to her, it's all about merit. It's not about gender. I don't think she ever thought once about being the first woman to do it. I think she just, as a trainer, she wanted to win the Kentucky Derby, and I think that's what it's all about.
She's a terrific horsewoman, or horseman, whatever you want to call them. She's very good at what she does, and congratulations to Cherie DeVoe. Well, we have a Kentucky Derby winner in Golden Tempo, Bob, but we will not have a Triple Crown winner. And that's because Golden Tempo will not run in the Preakness.
Right. For the second year in a row, following Sovereignty last year, the Derby winner will not go into the Preakness off 2 weeks' rest. I think there's a lot of reasons for this. Some of them are talked about. Some of them aren't. I think a lot of the big issue is medication withdrawal times. So, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about changing the format of the Triple Crown, more spacing in between. I'm a real traditionalist and have been against this. Maybe I'll sway a little bit just to the fact that, you know, we're not seeing a Preakness that's up to the quality that what we once had and what we once saw these horses come back in 2 weeks. And to not have a shot at a Triple Crown is a little bit disappointing. I certainly understand. I don't think Cherie DeVoe has ever run a horse back in her career in 2 weeks. And we know Bill Mott last year with Sovereignty certainly did not do it very often. But it leaves a hole in the Preakness, and you look at the horses that may be, you know, going in the race. It'll be a full field, but it's not going to be the usual quality. I think we're going to have O'Selly, the third-place finisher, come back out of there and run in the Preakness. They're talking about running Robusta back. He was 14th in the Derby, but he may come back in the Preakness. And then a lot of new faces, horses that maybe skipped the Derby, Silent Tactic, who had a foot issue right before the Derby. They're talking about running him. Napoleon Solo, who was last in the Wood Memorials, had some blistering works. Express Kid, who was second in the Sunland Derby, is going to go. And then there's a local horse, John, I want to really kind of take a look at real closely before next week, trained by Brittany Russell, who kind of dominates that circuit in Maryland, named Taj Mahal, who's undefeated in three starts. So that may be the local angle there, and a horse that's on the way up and has some Maryland roots there as well.
Like you mentioned, of the 18 horses that started in the Kentucky Derby, it looks at this point like only two may run in the Preakness, those being O'Selly and Robusta. The horse that was scratched behind the gate prior to the start of the Derby, that was a Great White. He kind of sat down and went over behind the gate, so he had to be an automatic late scratch. He is pointing to come back in the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes. So three horses that were on the track for the Kentucky Derby may run in the Preakness, but you're right. A lot of the leading contenders are going to skip this. And you talk about, it's not only the Preakness, Bob. When you come back in 2 weeks, all the undercard stakes races take a hit over there at Laurel, too, because those other horses that ran in so many of those big stakes races on the Churchill Downs undercard and Oaks and Derby Day, they don't come back in that 2 weeks at Pimlico, so it really hurts them on that point, too. So, I'm like you. I'm a kind of a traditionalist. I would prefer to keep the schedule the way it is, but I understand why there's such a clamoring for it. And if we're going to keep the Preakness as relevant, maybe there has to be some change made here. But again, it's out of my league. It's not a decision I make. We'll just have to go with whatever's decided. Let's talk a little bit about some of those other impressions that you had on Derby and Oaks Day. What really caught your eye? The first thing I'm going to mention is the win in the Pat Day Mile by Crude Velocity.
Well, that was the best race of the day, John, and there's no question in my mind, and I believe this going into the card, the best three-year-old dirt horse in the country is Crude Velocity. How far he wants to run, I don't know. I was not surprised that Baffert did not wheel him back in 2 weeks for the Preakness. There was talk about that and that he would have been favored in the race. Yes, he would have been favored, but that's not Baffert's style either. There's a race down the road on Belmont Day for $1 million around one turn that they're going to shoot for. But Crude Velocity is the most talented three-year-old that I've seen in this crop, and his numbers verify it. That was just an unbelievably good race, the one turn, 1 mile, Pat Day, where Englishman made the lead. He was undefeated in two starts for Cherie DeVoe. Looked like maybe he had held off Crude Velocity a couple different times in the stretch, and Crude Velocity just kept coming and ended up winning pretty comfortably, running 133 and change. Both of those horses, in fact, Englishman may be the second best dirt three-year-old in the country, at least going short, because that horse lost nothing in defeat. Those two put on a show, John.
You know, how about hats off to our trainer from California, Michael McCarthy. He won two races on the Derby undercard, Stark Contrast and Yellow Card, got the job done, and he just missed in the Kentucky Oaks with Meaning. I thought Michael McCarthy had a super weekend.
Yeah, they all showed up. I mean, big days, his horses run, and that's all you can ask. I was a big fan of Yellow Card going in, a hard-fought victory. and then Stark Contrast was the favorite in the American Turf. Got it done pretty handily, and as you said, just missed on Oaks Day. So Michael McCarthy has just moved up the ranks to be, you know, definitely a top 10 trainer in the country, maybe higher than that. He's got the barn now to compete at that level, and they show up on the big days.
You know, on a business standpoint, under the radar coming up on May 22nd was the deadline regarding the use of Lasix. Right now, three-year-olds and up can use it. You cannot use it on two-year-olds. You can't use it Lasix on, in stakes races. The board at HISA has been working on this, set up a committee, and they finally released their report, and they made a decision this week regarding the use of Lasix going forward.
Right, they're going to leave it alone, which is, as you mentioned, no Lasix for two-year-old races, no Lasix for stakes races in states that are under HISA jurisdiction. That was a good move, John. Finally, HISA made a good decision in the two or three years that they've been in existence. Had they gone the other way, and by the way, it needed to be a unanimous vote by that board, and it was. Had they gone the other way and said no Lasix, I mean, the game is done, John. I mean, how could you run our races without using a legal pharmaceutical medication that helps horses not bleed internally and into their lungs? I mean, it would have been game over had they gone the other way.
Well, the committee stated, and I quote, no performance-enhancing effect on individual horses. And so, you know, they've come out and stated that it is not something that's going to be a performance enhancer. So we'll see how it moves forward, but at least they kept the status quo. They did not make things worse for the horsemen, and that's a good thing. I think it's kind of an upset, too. I was expecting kind of the vote to go the other way. Let's talk a little before. Go ahead.
It'll never go back now, I don't think, but if Lasix is not a performance-enhancing drug proven medically, why is it not allowed in our two-year-old races or our best races with the stakes horses? I mean, a horse that bleeds or has a problem with that is really severely handicapped by not being able to use Lasix, and I just think it should be open to all races, personally.
Well, you and I handicap on a daily basis. You can see the change in form on some horses when they're not allowed to use Lasix as opposed to when they can. And if it does help and protect the horses, aren't we supposed to be looking out for the horses? It's a common sense thing to me. But again, this is above my pay grade, apparently. Bob, before we do some handicapping today, we lost a member of the Thoroughbred LA family this week, and I know you wanted to say something about what happened this week.
Yeah, Jay Pribman's mother, Joan Pribman, passed away this week at age 94. She'd had a very full and rewarding life, had lived in Summerlin for about the last 20 years after moving out of the L.A. Valley. And Jay was up there with us, did our seminar on Friday night, had dinner afterwards, but really he was preoccupied with being with his mom, spending time with her, getting her out of a rehab facility back to her apartment and under hospice care where she wanted to be. And I did speak with Jay about just how much time he got to spend with her over the last 2 weeks. He said probably more than, you know, since he had lived at home as a kid, but really got to spend a great deal of time with her. And I know that was extremely meaningful to both Jay and his mother. And she had been a frequent visitor out in the summers, would come out to Del Mar for a few days. So it was always great to catch up with her. So condolences to the family. Joan Pribman passed at age 94.
Joan was a very kind and just a terrific lady, a real pleasant smile. And I'm glad that Jay and his wife, Ann, got to spend some time with her. We're going to miss her, and we're thinking about Jay and his family and wishing them all the best. And again, I'm glad that Jay and Ann were there to, you know, spend the time they needed to with Joan. So our best to the Pribman family. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of handicapping, Bob. You have your sheet today for Santa Anita, so let's promote that and get a Santa Anita pick from you.
Right, races 5, 9, and 7 are my best plays, $144 in the late pick 5. No sheet tomorrow, John. Looking at that card, 9 races, 61 horses entered before scratches. No can do tomorrow, John. So let's get all the money today. I thought the best gambling race on the card was the 9th and final. And, boy, talk about morning lines, John. To me, this race is completely out of whack. The horse I like in my radio plays, number six, Marjoram, who is somehow 10 to 1 on the morning line. If you watched the race last time, stumbled and lost about 10 lengths at the start as the 2 to 1 favorite facing Mow 'Em Down. Will Happen, still unwritten. A few horses that are going to come back in this race. I think this horse would have won with a better start, and that was off a layoff as well. I know there's some high hopes here for this Judmon horse. So ninth race, radio play, number six, Marjoram, 10 to 1 on the line. That's fiction. I don't think you'll get half that price. And there were some others in here, John, at 20 and 30 to 1 that I just think are completely out of whack. So this is a good gambling race. Maybe the morning line gives you a little benefit here, get some chaos in here. So let's end the day with a winner. And, John, I know your Lindo report today, you did full card Santa Anita. You did the last five from Churchill. Yesterday on the Lindo report, your pick five hit on a $72 ticket, returning $801. Tremendous value when you're playing those Churchill Downs races with the full fields. So tell us what's available from the South Point. Your sheet is there. Let's get a radio pick from you.
Yeah, both the South Point and today's RacingDigest.com. We've got the full card Santa Anita Lindo report and the late pick five at Churchill Downs. For a radio play, I'm going to go to Churchill Downs. Seventh race, the start of the late pick five. I like number six, Jabos, in here, coming back off the layoff. Missed the break in the debutante last summer. The winner of that race was Percy's Bar. She's now a grade one winner. Jabos ran second that day. She'll like the added distance. She'll like Lasix on, and she'll like Arad Ortiz taking the call. 9-2 in the program. I think Jabos is the right filly. Race number seven today at Churchill Downs. We're late on our break. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll talk to Bob Mazursky from today's RacingDigest.com, and we'll check in with Bruce Finkelstein at BetOnBruce.com. You're listening to Thoroughbred LA here on AM 830 KLAA and on the Angels radio app. Soon as the shire rings out of the hell, the jet flies away. Shall be strong like it. Rock, cast, rock, rock, cast, rock. Shall be strong like it. Rock, cast, rock, rock, cast, rock.
Angels Radio. AM 830.
Happy Saturday, race fans. We have 9 big races today at Santa Anita Park, with first post being 1 p.m. and many low takeout wagers throughout the day, like the pick four, the pick five, the $3 late pick three, the ever-popular coast-to-coast pick five, and the $5 late deli double. Our feature race today is the Senorita Stakes, a grade three going down the hill featuring my best bet of the day, number five, Light One Up. She is taken to the turf like a fish to water, and she will get her first graded stakes win today. Tomorrow, of course, is Mother's Day. I've been involved in horse racing for almost 50 years, and believe me, there is simply no better place to take mom and celebrate the whole family than at the racetrack. Take her out to the great race place, and she will spend an unforgettable day amidst the breathtaking backdrop of Santa Anita Park. We still have special packages available, but tickets are selling out fast. So head over to SantaAnita.com and bring mom out to an unforgettable day here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
From conception to the starting gate, Legacy Ranch does it all. Located in the small town of Clements, Legacy Ranch sits on 145 beautifully manicured acres with lush paddocks for your mares and babies. The large pastures are irrigated year-round, and private paddocks are available too. Ranch manager Terry Knight is well-known throughout California as a top-notch horseman and oversees the breaking and training of your young stock. The 5/8 mile training track is maintained to the highest standards under supervision of well-known trackman Richard Tedesco, and includes a starting gate and chute for gate workouts. Take a video tour of Legacy Ranch by going to LegacyRanchInc.com. Or better yet, Farm Owners Pete and Evelyn Perella invite you to schedule an in-person visit where you can meet Legacy Ranch Stallions Clubhouse Ride, Forbidden Kingdom, and our new addition to the 2026 breeding season, Om, sire of Grade 3 Torrey Pine Stakes winner Almond Joy. Contact Legacy Ranch at 510-928-4980. That's 510-928-4980. And start your journey to the winner's circle today.
Attention, Inland Empire racing fans.
Watching and wagering on the races just got easier. The Derby Room located at Fairplex Park is open and ready to serve you. Watch and wager in the newly renovated Derby Room on races across the country starting at 9 a.m. each Wednesday through Sunday. Televisions throughout the Derby Room will keep you up to date on all sporting events. Add in great food and a great atmosphere and you'll have the ultimate horse player experience. For upcoming promotions, go to thederbyroom.com. Thederbyroom.com. See you at the Derby Room, 2201 North White Avenue in Pomona. Owners and breeders, take advantage of new cowbred incentive programs from the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. Starting in 2026, the San Anita Winter Meet will offer increased owner's premiums of $12,500 for all winners of open, restricted, and cowbred maiden special weight races. For the 2026 Del Mar Summer Meet, that incentive bonus is $15,000. The 2026 Fall Del Mar Meet will offer a $12,500 bonus, and the 2026 Los Alamitos Thoroughbred Meets will offer a $10,000 bonus. Owners of mares bred in 2026 will be awarded $1,000 for each 2027 foal registered as a cowbred, up to 25 foals per breeder. CTA members will have the $100 foal registration fee waived for cowbreds foaled in 2025, 26, and 27. Travel reimbursements are also available for brood mares purchased out of state when they produce a cowbred foal. It pays to own, breed, and race in California.
G'day, this is Michael Rona, and you're listening to Thoroughbred Los Angeles on AM 830 KOAN.
Welcome back to Thoroughbred Los Angeles. You heard that commercial for the cowbred, the CTBA, and John Lindo here with Bob Ike. Bob, why don't you give us our cowbred of the week?
All right, the cowbred of the week is Hey Jesse, who was the winner of the $100,000 Santa Barbara Stakes last Sunday. Hey Jesse is by Grazen out of the C's Tizzy Mare. Bees C is owned and bred by CJ Racing, LLC, that's Steve Young, and is trained by Sean McCarthy. Hey Jesse now has four wins from 12 lifetime starts with career earnings of just under $250,000. And John, looks like a cowbred may be running in the Preakness next week with Express Kid being pointed to the Preakness Stakes next Saturday.
We'll find out when entries are taken on Monday for the Preakness Stakes. Let's bring in our next guest, and that's Bob Mazursky from todaysracingdigest.com. And Bob, a familiar face is rejoining the local jockey colony starting tomorrow. Joel Rosario, who had ridden in Southern California for many, many years, has been back east now for a number of years. Starting tomorrow, he is back in the Santa Anita jockeys room.
Yeah, it's been a long time since he's ridden here regularly, but, you know, things had kind of fallen off for him back east. I personally don't think he's been quite the same rider the last few years. I don't know what's gone on, but maybe, you know, getting out here will rejuvenate him, and we'll, you know, hopefully the field size will improve so there's more opportunities for guys like him. But, you know, right now I just think he needed a change of scenery and hopefully get a fresh start out here.
You know, I agree with you. You know, watching him ride, he's been a little bit flat, and we're going to see what he's got left. Like you say, hopefully the change in venues. He's got a new agent now. Bill Castle will be booking his mounts out here in Southern California. So let's see what Joel has left and you know, what type of rider he is these days. So looking forward to seeing that as he comes back tomorrow. Bob, we wanted you to take a look at the stakes race today. That's the Senorita Stakes. The Grade 3 goes as the ninth race on the card. Bob Ike had already mentioned he likes a horse in there, Marjoram. We have a favorite in here, Light One Up, coming off a good race behind Cy Fair back east.
Yeah, she deserves to be the morning line favorite, but otherwise I thought this morning line was an April Fool's joke when I saw some of the prices on horses, so I think she deserves to be favored. She ran against better horses in Kentucky, including Cy Fair, who came back and won the Mamzelle last week. So I think, you know, like, and she's won on the Santa Anita Turf course before. The horse Bob mentioned, Marjoram, how obviously has a big chance, had plenty of excuses last time. Excuse me. And then, you know, Yours Sincerely is 20-1 on the morning line. I think she could be a late running threat. Even the improving Serpent USA, who's listed at 30-1 on the morning line for the late Jeff Siegel and Eric Sonheimer. She's won two in a row, and I think she's getting better. So I think it's a pretty wide-open race, and as far as I'm concerned, I respect Bob's opinion, but I think the race is a spread in the exotics.
Absolutely, and like you say, I think the morning line here is a joke in the feature race today. Bob Ike, what do you have for Mr. Mazursky?
Hey, Bob, good morning. I agree it's a spread race, and my last part of my pick five, I'm like six deep in there, but as you guys mentioned, Surfin' USA, 30 to 1. Yours Sincerely, 20 to 1. My horse, Marjoram, 10 to 1. I guess time will tell, but I'm going to be shocked if those lines are anywhere close in the finale. Bob, where do you want to go for your radio play today?
I think it's a better chance of it snowing here today than those lines being accurate, so I'll just leave it at that. I'm going to go to the fourth race. I like number one, Tom Starr. Getting back on the dirt, I think she was in a little tough last time on the grass. She's 1-for-1 routing on dirt. I think she should get a good trip drawn inside, so I'll go number one, Tom Starr, in race four.
So that's number one, Tom Starr for Bob Mazursky in the fourth race today at Santa Anita, 3-1 on the morning line. Bob, break out your parka. I hope the weather holds for you as you get out to Santa Anita today.
All right. Take care, guys. Talk to you next week.
That was Bob Mazursky. Let's head out to Las Vegas with Bet on Bruce. And Bob Ike, we're in the middle of the NHL playoffs right now, and all Bruce did was give us a hat trick last week. He gave out crude velocity in the Pat Day Mile, $5.14. Rhetorical in the Bourbon Turf at that was the Old Forester Bourbon Turf, $5.92, and capped it off with pure chaos and a daylight win at Santa Anita at 7:20. Bruce, you were shooting ducks last week.
Yeah, it was a couple of nice singles. We had three singles as far as in baseball term. No extra base hits, but we'll take the solid winners nevertheless. That was a good day. We'll take it.
Well, Bob Ike, we're going to get straight to handicapping with Bruce. So why don't you try and get something from him out of state, and we'll come back to California in the second pick.
And, John, as fun as it was being over there betting the races last weekend, I think dinner was more fun because I was sitting between John Hardoon and Bruce Finkelstein, and I haven't had that many laughs in a long time, and it was just a great time at dinner. And I was reminded very, very in a classy manner by Bruce, because he'll never gloat, but what a horrible pick I made on my radio play last week with Miss Practical, and he picked Pure Chaos and just beat me like a drum. So congratulations, Bruce. You didn't rub it in, but I'm rubbing it in on myself. I made a horrible pick, and you and Hardoon liked the winner. And thank you for having so much fun at dinner last week.
It was a great time. I haven't seen John probably, we're talking about it, probably in over 25 years. We've spoken, obviously, all the time, but it's been a long time to see John Lindo and you, Bob, and the whole gang. It was a great group of people. It was so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
And I even learned a new Yiddish word, which was fun, too. So, Bruce, where do you want to go for your first radio play?
As long as it's not Schmendrick, you're good. Let's go to the last race at Churchill Downs. This is a neat race. It's for Phillies, $100,000 meet and claimer. You don't see too many of these. It's at 7 furlongs. I think there's a good price potential here in the 7 horse, Cognizant. This is an Oaklawn Park shipper, been in nothing but straight maidens. That's a big plus. Now, she sprinted on debut. Go back and watch the videotape when she's in her only sprint. She got slammed at both sides at the start. She ran third in a pretty good-looking effort, considering all the early trouble. She came back with a third-place effort going long on the dirt and then kind of threw in a dud. They backed off, given her a couple of months off. I love the drop in class. I think the 7/8 could hit her right between the eyes. And, you know, with such deep fields, you get some great price potential. So in the last race, the 11th race at Churchill Downs, let's go with the 7, Cognizant, at 10-1 on the morning line.
So for Bruce Finkelstein, the 11th race at Churchill Downs, number 7, Cognizant, 10-1 on the program. Bruce, let's get out to Santa Anita. Let's get a play in California.
Okay, let's go to the first race, John. And I don't know that we're going to get 3-1. Probably not. But I think there's an absolute standout here. The bottom horse, the 7 horse, Valiant Sun. This is a horse that came off close to a 16-month layoff. I remember this horse from Northern California from a couple of years ago. It was a pretty darn good horse on the synthetic. Came off the layoff. Thought he had a little bit of a shot here on turf. He finished third. Go back and watch the video on this. The rider just had a heck of a time the whole way around. He was checking. He just didn't look comfortable riding this horse at all. And somehow, he still managed to finish third in a very nice comeback effort. I think he gets an illegally good rider switch going to Juan Hernandez. He's second off the layoff. I think he should be set for his best. He's 3-1. Kind of going to take just about any price. Hopefully it doesn't go down too severely. Race one, the 7, Valiant Sun at 3-1 on the morning lines.
So for Bruce, Santa Anita, race one, number 7, Valiant Sun, 3-1 on the program. Bruce, real quick, what do you have today at betonbruce.com?
Full card analysis at Santa Anita with the late races, just like you, from Churchill Downs with audio included, best bets at Santa Anita, and also the late races today, added bonus, late races from Aqueduct, some good stake action there also as an added bonus. And before I leave, just, kindest condolences to Jay Brivman. We feel so terrible for his loss, and best of, mostly all great prayers and going forth, and, best to the Brivman family.
Very good, Bruce. I appreciate that. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Take care, guys.
Let's go ahead and take our next break. When we come back, we'll touch base with John Hardoon of the Ragazin Sheets. We'll also speak to Scott Shapiro from ExpressBet. You're listening to Thoroughbred LA here on AM 830 KLAA and on the Angels radio app.
Radio. AM 830.
Exciting nighttime racing action continues at Los Alamitos with live quarter horse and thoroughbred racing at the track of Sunsets and Stars. Coming up at Los Alamitos is our first futurity final on Sunday, May 10th. It's the Grade 2 Robert Adair Kindergarten Futurity, featuring a cast of undefeated juveniles, led by fastest qualifier Contentious, plus the unbeaten Monday Dynasty, Cyber Eyes, and Jack A. 10 top two-year-olds will face off in the kindergarten final. Plus, night racing's best bets are here. The early and late pick four and the traditional pick six. Remember, we add 10,000 to the pool if we don't have a carryover. The total pick six pool on April 19th was nearly 140,000. And racing fans, make your reservations today for kindergarten night or for any of our daytime simulcast programs. For Vessels Club reservations, call 714-820-2681. Great tables are still available. Or join us at Burgart Sports Bar. Don't miss our first quarter horse futurity final, the kindergarten on Sunday, May 10th.
Can't make it to Del Mar from downtown San Diego? The Gaslamp Tavern is now open for satellite wagering. Located just blocks from Petco Park, take advantage of the great food and beverage menu while watching and wagering on races across the country, including Del Mar. Post time each day is 10 a.m. Get into the action before walking over to your next Padres game. Group reservations and private parties are welcome, too. The Gaslamp Tavern, 868 Fifth Avenue in San Diego. For more information, log on to GaslampTavern.com or call 619-858-8862. Make sure to say hi to owner Rick Borbo when you cash in your next winning ticket at the Gaslamp Tavern. See you at the Gaslamp Tavern soon. From Santa Anita to Del Mar, to key race meets around the country, Bruce Finkelstein's Bet on Bruce has you covered. Full card selections and featured races throughout the country available every racing day at betonbruce.com. Get advice on multi-wager ticket structures and improve your return on investment with Bruce Finkelstein's betonbruce.com. Bet on experience. betonbruce.com.
Nearly 50 years ago, Len Ragazin formulated the idea of speed ratings. Today, the Ragazin Sheets are still America's premier speed rating product. Who uses Len Ragazin speed ratings? Trainers use the Ragazin Sheets to place their horses. Breeders check the Ragazin Sheets before making million-dollar decisions. And jockey agents consult the Ragazin Sheets when choosing which horse to ride. But most importantly, the Ragazin Sheets are used by players like you. The Ragazin Sheets are available online at thesheets.com. Our website also offers free introductory material, including an online seminar. You can also receive free introductory material by calling us directly at 212-674-3123. That's the Ragazin Sheets at 212-674-3123. Ragazin, the most respected name in racing.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
She's an easy lover. She'll get a hold on you the
Welcome back to Thoroughbred Los Angeles. I'm John Linda with Bob Ike. And Bob, we're not that far away from the start of Del Mar, and we had that big ship and win bonus program in effect. It's time to start shopping to get a horse out to California. Let's get the rules of the Del Mar ship and win.
Yeah, great program, John. There's a $5,000 starter bonus for dirt, the first dirt start at Del Mar, then a 50% purse bonus for every dirt start during the summer meet, $4,000 for turf, same rules, first turf start, and then 40% purse bonus for every turf start this summer. If the horse cannot have raced in California in the last 12 months, and the previous start must have been made outside of California, and those purse bonuses will extend to horses that make their initial ship and win start at Santa Anita in May or June, and those horses are allowed to make two starts at Santa Anita before they come to Del Mar. A tremendous program, John.
Get those horses into California now. You can get a start or two at Santa Anita. Take advantage of it all summer at Del Mar. Any other questions, contact David Jerkins in the racing office at Del Mar. Let's go to our next guest, and that's John Harduda of the Rags and Sheets. And, John, the question I had for you, we talked about crude velocity and the relatively slow time of Golden Tempo. I wanted to see from a Rags and Sheets standpoint, what kind of numbers did both Golden Tempo and crude velocity earn for their wins last Saturday?
Well, I'll give them to you in a second. I just want to extend my condolences to Jay Privman and the rest of his family on the passing of his mom. 94 years, so that's a pretty good number, but at least he got to spend time with her at the end, and that's certainly important. Okay, now to horse racing. Well, Crude Velocity ran a 5.5, and the Golden Tempo ran a 10, which was one of the slower derbies. Rich Strike and Golden Tempo, the two slowest derbies in the last 30 years. So there you have it.
That's what it looked like visually, so the Rags and Sheets confirmed that. And I know that, Bob, you wanted to ask him a little bit about the examples that we get of racing today were on effect at Churchill Downs last Saturday.
Right, John. Good morning. In the midst of those great weekend of racing at Churchill, we saw the CAWs rear their ugly head in the case of T.O. Elvis, who was such an impressive winner of that dirt sprint race for older horses. He was 12-1 in the gate, ended up at 5-1. And the great part about this for fans like us and horse players, John, it was called out on NBC TV by Mike Tirico, and he jumped on it right away, which was a good thing.
That was one of the good things that happened, because finally they're exposed to the whole world. There were millions of people watching, and everybody saw what happened. And if you go to the window expecting to get back $26 and they give you $13, well, that's just not going to work. And people are really annoyed about it, Bob, and let's see what's going to happen, because something has to give. Between all the late scratches and everything else, you know, while it was a great week of racing, there were certainly a lot of things that people left there with a bad taste in their mouth about. And the CAW, it is so prevalent at Churchill this year. I mean, they're just sticking it in your face. John Lindo gave out a horse the other day that went from 2-1 to 3-5. I mean, it's crazy what's going on there. But, again, something has to give. This is unsustainable. It will be the end of the game.
And John, well, we'll get two picks from you, so why don't I get the first one, and then John Lindo will get your second play.
Okay, so the skies are certainly threatening here. 50% chance of rain from 3 o'clock on, but as of this point, it's holding off. I'm going to look at the sixth race today at Aqueduct, which is the Jan Nerud Stakes, one of the stakes they have on the card. Big favorite in here will be number 5, 1-900, who's 7-5 on the morning line. But I like the number 2 horse in here, Full Moon Madness. 6-year-old gelding from the Michelle Nevin barn. This horse fires every time. Should get a great trip in here. Ray Lou Gutierrez is aboard to ride. Number 2, Full Moon Madness, wins today's sixth race out at Belmont.
So that's the sixth race at Belmont Park. Number 2, Full Moon Madness. Best of luck to Samantha Siegel, the owner. And morning line 3-1. And did you want to come out to California, Santa Anita? Do you want to go to Churchill Downs? Where do you want to go for your other play?
I'm going to go to Churchill. The guy that made the morning lines today at Santa Anita was either drinking or something was wrong, because the morning lines today at Santa Anita are a joke, as you guys were saying. Let's look at the fifth race today at Churchill, 1.8 miles on the turf. The number 8 horse in here, Comprehensive, nothing wrong with this horse, but he's going to be the big favorite. He's going to be 3-5 here. I think there's a horse that could beat him. Number 11, Mr. Bobo, 5-year-old gelding from the Jeremiah O'Dwyer barn. This horse had one race at Churchill on the turf, happened to be the best race of the horse's career. He's listed at 12-1 on the morning line, and I think we're going to get that price. Let's make an exacta box, number 8, Comprehensive, with number 11, Mr. Bobo, and then a win bet on number 11, Mr. Bobo, in today's fifth race out of Churchill Downs.
So that's Churchill Downs, race number 5, number 11, Mr. Bobo, 12-1 on the morning line for John Hardoon. John, quickly, what do you have at johnhardoon.com?
3 tracks up today, Belmont at Aqueduct, Santa Anita, and Churchill Selections, JohnHardoon.com. 3 best plays, $10, full card, $25. Bob, it was great sitting next to you last week. I have such a good time when we go out there, and hopefully we'll see you at Breeders' Cup.
That'd be great, John.
Take it easy, John. We will talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Stay safe and be well.
Our final guest in this segment is Scott Shapiro from ExpressBet and all the things he posts up there for ExpressBet. And, Scott, good morning. How you doing?
Doing all right, guys. Still getting the serotonin back up after the big weekend, but I think we're there.
Good. I wanted you to comment on what we saw. It was an Ortiz Brothers weekend. They won 8 of the 13 races on Friday. And, you know, Zay not only winning the Oaks, but he wins the Derby. Those two guys put on a show.
These guys are all right now. And I think, Bob, maybe it was last week or at some point recently mentioned, you know, a big key to their success is the lack of mistakes. I think, you know, we know that the horse has to do most of the work for you. You can't win on a horse that can't run. But when the race is where, you know, the jocks matter, whatever percentage of the time you think it is, you know, Irad, you know, clearly has made a difference in those types of spots for years. Jose, little more under the radar. He's had ups and downs more than Irad, I would say. But he's really been on the top of his game. It seems like moving his tack or shifting his tack, however you want to say it, to the, you know, the fairgrounds in the winter and then the Kentucky the rest of the year has really benefited him. And I think, you know, based on obviously the numbers and watching the race, it was a kind of underwhelming Derby from a, you know, talent perspective. And I think clearly Jose made the difference, you know. It all had to do with timing and really making the last move and not losing too much ground early. He did all the things right, and it led to a win with maybe, you know, you could argue the third or fourth best horse in the race, probably.
I agree with you on that, Scott. I think he made every right move in a race where he had to do it because I don't think he had the best horse, and he got the money. Bob Ike, why don't we try and get a play out of Scott Shapiro?
All right, Shapper, where do you want to go today and give us a radio winner?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the 8th race, which is a turf race, first level allowance at Churchill. And I'm going to try number 3, Love 'Em or Liam here. This is a son of Liam's map for Bill Mott. Only 1 win in 9 starts, but has only raced 2 turns over the sod twice in his career. And I thought he finished well in both of those races. Last time out got beat by a neck, but was the only one really coming from well off the pace. You know, race where a horse in this race named Sinister 6 was very loose and lonely on the lead, kind of ran off a bit but hung around. I think Love 'Em or Liam is going to get an honest pace today, and I think he's going to make the most of it. So we'll try number 3, Love 'Em or Leave 'Em in race 8, a first-level allowance at Churchill, 4-1 on the line.
So for Scott Shapiro, race 8 at Churchill Downs, number 3, Love 'Em or Liam, 4-1 on the program. That's going to get the money for us here on Thoroughbred LA. Scott, I appreciate it, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
All right, great chatting as always, guys. Good luck today.
That was Scott Shapiro. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will talk to Toby Callett in South Florida, and we'll also speak to Michael Rona about a big fraternity coming up Sunday night at Los Alamitos. You're listening to Thoroughbred LA right here on AMA 30 KLAA and on the Angels radio app.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Happy Saturday, race fans. We have 9 big races today at Santa Anita Park, with first post being 1 p.m. and many low takeout wagers throughout the day, like the Pick 4, the Pick 5, the $3 late Pick 3, the ever-popular Coast to Coast Pick 5, and the $5 late Deli Double. Our feature race today is the Senorita Stakes, a grade 3 going down the hill featuring my best bet of the day, number 5, Light One Up. She is taken to the turf like a fish to water, and she will get her first graded stakes win today. Tomorrow, of course, is Mother's Day. I've been involved in horse racing for almost 50 years, and believe me, there is simply no better place to take mom and celebrate the whole family than at the racetrack. Take her out to the great race place, and she will spend an unforgettable day amidst the breathtaking backdrop of Santa Anita Park. We still have special packages available, but tickets are selling out fast. So head over to santaanita.com and bring mom out to an unforgettable day here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Satellite wagering has returned to San Clemente at the newly renovated OC Tavern. Located just east of the 5 Freeway at 2969 South El Camino Real, the OC Tavern has outdoor public seating, a fully renovated dining room, updated food and beverage options, easy parking, and a great satellite wagering room. Catch all your favorite sporting events. Never miss a big race and enjoy the views of the Pacific. Fun and games await you at the OC Tavern in San Clemente. Come back and check us out.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Want to bet your favorite horse but can't make it to the racebook? South Point Casino's racebook has the answer. Come in and sign up for the Nevada Racebook mobile app. For just a $50 minimum deposit, you'll have the racebook right at your fingertips, no matter where you are in Nevada. It's convenient, fun, and easy to use. When you do have time to visit, South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. Whether you want to come in or play from the comfort of your home, South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Angels Radio.
AM 830.
Welcome back to the final segment of Thoroughbred Los Angeles. I'm John Lindo with Bob Ike. And just a reminder that Santa Anita has 9 races today. First post time, 1 o'clock. Feature races, the Grade 3 Senorita goes as the 9th and final at Santa Anita. Let's bring in our two final guests. First of all, Toby Callett from South Florida. And Toby, got a couple of races down there we need to keep an eye on at Gulfstream Park, the divisions of the Royal Palm Stakes for two-year-olds. These two turf sprints often lead to horses showing up at Royal Ascot in June over across the seas.
Yes, they get a $25,000 travel stipend if they do choose to go. And there have been horses that have made their presence felt when they did go across the pond. So they are worthwhile races. They'll be the co-radio plays of the day.
Oh, perfect. Well, then let's go there. Let's get the radio plays.
Okay, race 6. We're going to go with the 3, and that's Celtic Dispute, Patrick Biancone. Bear in mind, Louis Saez is in town. He's got 6 mounts on the card. You know he came down for the stakes especially. I believe this is a great spot. Son of Leinster, or daughter of Leinster, she should get the job done here. I'm using the 8, Scarabray, the 7 automatic press, and the 4 bronze run to round it out. 3874 to slam the door. Race 8, there are 3 scratches in there, sadly. 2, 3, and 9 take some of the value out. I like the 7 Pops Right coming back to South Florida after a successful maiden win at Keeneland. Behind Pots Right, we're going to go with the 6 Motown Foxy Brown, the 1 Joker's Chick, and the 5 Pros and Cons. 7, 6, 1, 5 will stay alive. Playing on.
So for Toby Callett, race 6 today, the first division of the Royal Palm, number 3, Celtic Dispute, the 3 over the 8, 7, 4. Eighth race, the second division, the Philly division of the Royal Palm, number 7, Pots Right, the 7 over the 6, 1, 5. Toby gives us something to watch and play at Gulfstream today. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
That was Toby Callett. Let's finish it off, as usual, with Michael Rona. And, Michael, your first big fraternity of the season this year comes up, and it's tomorrow night, and that's the, I always call it the Bobby Adair. It's the Robert Adair Kindergarten Fraternity.
Yes, good morning to you, John. Looking forward to it very much. The trials were dominated by trainer Jose Flores. He has qualified 7 of the 10 in the final tomorrow for the Grade 2 Kindergarten Futurity at 300 yards. He has won the race 4 previous times and is blessed with a precocious crop of juveniles this season. So many have been impressive in the early stages of the season, none more so than the undefeated filly Contentious, who is 2-1 favourite on Ed Burghardt's morning line, should come out of post position three at 2-1. She ran blindingly fast time, winning her debut at 220 yards. Then in the 300-yard trial to the Kindergarten Futurity, she was compromised at the start, but thundered to a very impressive victory. Fastest qualifier despite early trouble. So the race definitely goes through her. I think that Romo Land, number 5, sitting on the morning line at 8-1, is the value angle in the race tomorrow night. Another of the Flores qualifiers. By the way, all 7 of Jose's finalists are fillies. They have dominated the Colts and Geldings thus far in the season. And Jaime Gomez, who has the stakes record, 8 Kindergarten Futurity wins, has snuck one horse into the field at 30-1, number 2, Telelux MRL. You can never let Jaime under your guard in the Kindergarten Futurity. That's all tomorrow night. And just as we're looking forward to the first Futurity of the season, the trials to the Grade 1 Ed Burke Million Futurity are only 3 weeks away. And again, we have a flood of 2-year-old races this weekend as horses are looking to get a little bit of experience to be eligible for the trials in 3 weeks. And you can always find those gateworks for free at losalamitos.com.
Well, Bob Ike, I cashed a ticket on Michael Rona's pick, went to London at 6:20 last Saturday night while we were waiting to go to dinner. So thank you, Michael, for that. And we need to get the post times and selections. So, Bob, let's get another pick from Mr. Rona here.
That's right. We got to fill in our downtime, John, between tracks. So, Michael, good morning. Post time tonight, and let's get your make it 2 weeks in a row for you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Post time is particularly pertinent for tonight, because I'm going to give you a horse in the opener. First of 9 races is 6:10. There's a 4.5 furlong thoroughbred maiden claimer to kick off proceedings tonight for fillies and mares. And I do fancy the chances of number 6, Beauty Jenny, who's had 2 starts off a lengthy layoff for trainer Angela Aquino, for a pair of second place finishes from post position 2 on each occasion. I like the move to the outside post. Third start for her. The filly was very washy, very sweaty before her comeback race in March. She's done good work in 2 starts so far for the new barn. I think third time's the charm from gate 6. She is 5-2 on Ed's morning line. Number 6 in the opener.
That's the first race tonight at Los Alamitos with a 6:10 first post time. Number 6, Beauty Jenny, 5-2 in the program. Very good, Michael. We will let you go. We'll be listening to you tonight, and we'll try and cash to begin that early sequence at Los Alamitos.
Thank you, fellas. Hooroo.
Want to thank everybody for joining us today. Tomorrow, Mike Willman here from 8 to 10 a.m. The SoCal Restaurant Show coming up next. Bob Ike, thanks for co-hosting. Enjoy the races today. Cash some tickets. We will talk to you on Preakness Day next Saturday right here on Thoroughbred LA from 9 to 10. Good luck, everybody.